As was announced, scripture reading is coming from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Again, that's 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed or wallowing in the mire.
Good evening. Good to see everyone out tonight. As was mentioned, our regular preacher is out preaching at a gospel meeting, so I'll be filling in for him tonight. If you were with us this morning, you got to hear Matt Bennett preach, and he said, if you want to hear a real sermon, come tonight. And I'm here to say that I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you heard it this morning. They say, you know, the best comes last, but he did a really good job this morning, so that's a hard guy to follow. But anyway, it's good to see you. It's good to be here and to learn another portion of God's Word. A man bought a new hunting dog. Eager to see how the dog would perform, the man took him out to track a bear. No sooner had they gotten into the woods than the dog picked up the trail. Suddenly he stopped, sniffed the ground, and headed in a new direction. He had caught the scent of a deer that had crossed the bear's path. A few moments later, he halted again, this time smelling a rabbit that had crossed the path of the deer. On and on it went until finally the breathless hunter caught up with the dog, only to find him barking triumphantly down the hole of a field mouse. So sometimes Christians are like that hunting dog. We start out on the right trail following Christ, but soon our attention is diverted to things of lesser importance. One pursuit leads to another until we've strayed far from our original purpose. And this can be a subtle progression that sometimes we don't see coming. A word to describe this slow straying is backsliding, something that is very serious and can be a quiet, unaware dilemma to any faithful Christian. So I titled this sermon, The Anatomy of a Backslider. And from this lesson, I'm hoping to make us aware of the process of backsliding and the signs to look out for. And we will also learn ways to prevent backsliding from taking place. If you want to get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Mark and keep your finger there, we'll be reading from that a lot tonight. We'll be reading a lot about the Apostle Peter to help understand the process of backsliding. If anyone knew firsthand the reality and dangers of backsliding, it was Peter, as he discovered the night he denied Jesus. So to begin, let's look at the first characteristic of a black backslider, and that is pride. If you turn to Mark 14, verse 27, we will begin our reading of that moment with Peter's pride and how it took place. And this is after the Last Supper has taken place and before Jesus was going to be taken away by soldiers. And here Jesus is talking to his disciples and preparing them on how they will respond after he is taken. So starting in verse 27, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to them, 'Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be.' Jesus said to him, 'Surely I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he spoke more vehemently, If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. So in a boastful manner, Peter claims he will not fall away or deny Christ. And in doing so, Peter takes a first step in backsliding, pride. And the Bible warns us about pride. If you turn over to Proverbs 16, verse 18, we are told about that. Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So in other words, pride is the first step toward destruction, and a proud thought will lead you to defeat. So why is pride the first step of backsliding? Well, one reason is that the first step in entering the kingdom is humility. And we are told this in Matthew 18, starting at verse 3. In Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Another reason why pride is the first step to destruction is because pride can lead to anxiety, sin, and even death. When we wear pride, we are putting ourselves and our interests first, which causes our interest in God to slowly get less. In 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 5, we are told to clothe ourselves with humility to prevent pride from taking over in our hearts. So 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So if we lose humility, we take that first step backwards. Laziness is the next sign in backsliding. And we read about Peter's experience with laziness. And if we turn back to Mark 14, this time at verse 32, we are taken to the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 32 of Mark 14, it says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Peter was told to keep watch, but he kept falling asleep. And because of this lack of diligent preparation, Peter was caught off guard for what was to follow, and he wasn't prepared. The same thing can happen to us. We can't allow laziness to creep in, causing us to not be diligent. And without diligence, we too can be found unprepared. And we are warned about this in Luke chapter 21. If you turn to Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 34, it says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousion, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. In other words, always be ready, ready to overcome trials, temptations, distractions, and signs of excuses. With laziness comes excuses. A lazy Christian is full of excuses. Why they missed a service, why they were late, why they didn't get their lesson done. And laziness and excuses are another sign we need to look out for. If we are drifting, it is a gradual drift that we don't expect and can catch us off guard like Peter was. So when we are proud of ourselves, we can become lazy, and that easily leads to the next step of backsliding, and that is cowardice. And if you look up cowardice in the dictionary, it will say lacking bravery. Now, going back to the book of Mark, listen to how Peter showed this. Back to Mark 14, this time starting in verse 66. Mark 14. Actually, I'm going to start you at verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now drop down to verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." Now, note that it says Peter followed with him at a distance. Now that Jesus had become unpopular, Peter stays far enough away so he wouldn't be identified with Jesus. And Peter was unprepared for the challenge of facing ridicule and persecution. Seeing the persecution Jesus was going through and the many people who were against Jesus caused him to try to be invisible, blending in with the people around him, not wanting to be known as being associated with Jesus. Cowardice is not fun, and unfortunately, it is easy to do. Without diligent preparation, we too can become guilty of cowardice, possibly being ashamed to be seen carrying a Bible, ashamed to be seen giving thanks, ashamed to be seen with other Christians, and perhaps even ashamed to let others know that we are a Christian. And yet, Jesus has made it clear what he thinks of cowardice. If you look at Mark 8, starting in verse 38, listen to what he says. Mark 8, verse 38, it says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Some scary words. This verse definitely should make us all look at our lives and decisions that we have made and look to see if we are showing signs of cowardice. I know there are moments in my life where I backed away from something I should have said or have done. And of course, I'm not proud of those moments, but I know having gone through those difficult moments caused me to gain more courage for the next time I'm faced with those difficult tests. And that's the same with Peter. He definitely shown courage and faithfulness throughout the rest of his life towards Jesus. So if we do find ourselves being ashamed of Christ and we don't work to overcome it, it is natural for one to fall into the next step of backsliding, and that is worldliness. And at this point, when one has reached a state of spiritual laziness followed by a cowardice, it is common for one to mingle with things and people of the world looking for comfort or acceptance. During the time Peter was outside in the courtyard, he sat with the servants of the high priest and was warming himself by the fire. If you look back at Mark 14 in verse 54, we read how Peter did this. And it says that Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Ashamed to be seen with Christ, it becomes easy to mingle with those of the world and enjoy their comforts. trying to blend in and not wanting to stand out. And doing this, there is a danger. And one cannot be comforted by the fire of the world and not be burned. Close contact with that which can harm has its effects. And we get some wise words from Solomon on this topic. If you look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, listen to what he says about this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? And there are several old sayings that go along with this verse. One that we've all heard is, you know, you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Kind of what it just said. Another one is, if you sleep with the pigs, you're going to smell like one. A verse that is very true and goes along with these sayings is 1 Corinthians 15:33, and that is, bad company corrupts good morals. So we cannot flirt with the world and walk away untouched. And by the time we become friends with the world, it is only a short time before we take the next and final step of backsliding, and that is denial. Take a look back at Mark 14, starting in 67, and listen to Peter's denial of Jesus. Mark 14, 67. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is the one." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus has said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Away from Christ and trying to get comfort with those in the world, Peter finds himself denying his Lord and Savior. When he heard the rooster crow, Peter remembered what Jesus said about denying him. It doesn't say it in the book of Mark, but if you look at Luke's account of this story, we are given some detail that helps us understand more of how Peter felt and why he wept so bitterly. So if you look in Luke 22, starting in verse 60, listen to what Peter sees after he hears the rooster. Luke 22, verse 60. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. So can you imagine how Peter felt and how it hit him and what he just did? And then seeing Jesus looking right at you, knowing what just happened. And that would be a very difficult moment for anybody. By denying Jesus, Peter put himself in grave danger. Listen to what Jesus says about those who deny him. Looking at Matthew 10, verses 32. Matthew 10, verses 32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Though we may never actually deny Jesus in words, we can easily backslide to the point of denying him in action. We are called to worship him, but make excuses why we cannot. We are called to serve him, but render little or no service. And we are called to stand by his side and suffer for his name, but stand afar off in the safety of the world's comfort. When we deny the Lord, our backsliding is complete. Unless we repent, the only thing left is to one day face the Lord, where we will fully realize the error of our ways. For Peter, He fully realized his sin when the Lord turned and looked at him, there, right there in the courtyard. But Peter had godly sorrow that resulted in true repentance. And years later, we find Peter writing the sort of things that would prevent us from making the same mistake he did. So in continuing, let's listen to some advice from one who learned the hard way. So, to guard against pride, Peter encourages humility. We read this already, but look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, and Peter writes, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Indeed, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. For laziness, Peter commands diligence." We read this throughout his writings. Take a look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Same chapter, just a couple of verses next door. Verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The devil is one to know what we like and tries to put it in front of us to help distract us, causing selfishness and pride to take place. Instead of cowardice, Peter tells us to glorify God. In 1 Peter 4:16, it tells us this, "However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." Instead of worldliness, Peter tells us to abstain. In 1 Peter 2, we read about this starting in verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Remember that we are sojourners and pilgrims destined for a better place than the things of this world has to offer. Instead of denial, Peter tells us to be ready to give a defense. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us this. In 1 Peter 3, starting at verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. By careful preparation, we will defend Christ and not deny Christ." So in conclusion, from one who learned by the hard road of experience, we need to take Peter's advice to prevent us from one day backsliding ourselves. And he writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Remember, too, that when Peter saw the eyes of the Lord, he realized the error of his ways. Fortunately for him, there was still time to repent. But for us, when we see Jesus face to face, the time to repent will be gone, and it will be time for judgment. If we realize that we are guilty of backsliding, repent now. Do not wait until you stand before Jesus. Do it now so that your face-to-face encounter with Jesus will be terrific and not terrifying. I hope after hearing this lesson, you will look out for these signs and work to be stronger in your faith. In doing so, you will be steps closer to getting to heaven. However, we are told in order to get to heaven, one must first obey the gospel. And the only way you can do that is through the plan of salvation we read about in the Bible through various examples and commands. And that is to hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mark 16:16. Repent of your sins. Acts 2:38. A good confession of your belief in Jesus being the Son of God. Romans 10:10. And then being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. And only then will you be added into the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27. From there on, you must stay faithful to God and continue to grow in your love, your knowledge, and faith towards God and His Word. Perhaps there is someone here who has already been baptized but has sinned publicly or needs the prayers of the saints. I hope you will make your life right with God by repenting and turning away from those sins. If you need any of these things, I encourage you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.